Emerson Radio program is 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. I got a big cup of coffee in my hand, and I'm drinking it right now. There's nothing anyone can do to stop me. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com.
They multiply.
The carts have multiplied like tribbles. Who wants to hear this one? This one, this is another one from KUPL.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
Uncomfortable Smokey.
Oh.
He must have been a younger Smokey back then. I have some Smokey shouts here. There's a Smokey shout.
I don't want to know what Smokey shouting sounds like.
I don't know under what circumstances he might be shouting.
Uncomfortable Smokey.
In what context did you ever play that on the air, ever?
I don't really know. How about the
Smokey Wife?
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, God, I miss up. You know, there's a bygone era in this business.
I have a shout in there somewhere.
Really? I mean, a shout? Do you have a Tim Riley shout?
I do. I don't know what happened.
I have Rick Emerson shouts at home.
Well, I suggest bringing them in. Oh,
do you know what I've got? You know what I've got at home?
What?
I've got, I just realized this morning, I've got not a whole box of them, but I've got a bunch of carts from the very first talk show I ever did.
Oh.
Years ago. I'm talking over 15 years ago.
That would be fun.
This late night show, the one I did in the bomb shelter, blah, 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 blah. I've got a bunch of I've got shouts from the syndicated show. But I've got a bunch of carts that, and it's like, I didn't even consciously take them home because why would you? Like I took home reels full of stuff and cassettes and DAT tapes later on, but I never consciously took home carts from any of the radio stations that I either quit or was fired from because A, that kind of seems like theft a little bit more than like taking home a reel. For some reason, I don't know why that is. I draw that mental distinction in my head that I could take home a reel but not carts.
People still carts. Well, they were kind of bulky.
Well, and that's the other thing is you can't play a cart anywhere. Like I have a reel to reel player, like all radio nerds, like all Gorger-esque nerds in this world. I have a reel to reel machine, and I had a DAT player. I have a cassette player, but no one owns a cart player at their house. No one.
Smokey Wife.
So I don't understand why I would even have those carts. So they must have just accidentally been taken home with me at one point, and then I just did that. They just stayed there. I don't even remember what's on them. I do remember when Laura and I cleaned up the basement, seeing a bunch of carts. Sort of like how you see a rat out of the corner of your eye in a gutter somewhere, and then you turn and it's gone. I remember seeing those carts in my basement somewhere, but I don't know what they were for, what they said. I think they may actually be unlabeled, some of them. So that'll be a fun game of audio Russian roulette. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen.
Untappable Smokey.
He's your president, prophet, seer, and revelator. He's Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Oh, we have so much to discuss today. First, well, there wasn't a storm last night, but it was icy everywhere, and school was canceled. What more can I say about that?
Here's the thing is, I woke up this morning, and I woke up a little late.
Why was that?
Just because I'm a bum. I'm another bum from the neighborhood. I have so much crap in my head that I want to talk about, and there's no way to put it in any concise
order. Can you sort it out one thing at a time?
No, not really.
Spit it all out at once, and we'll sort it.
On top of Old Smokey.
I'm just, you know, the thing is, that becomes instant comedy. Any sentence that you end with on top of Old Smokey just becomes funny.
I have a jingle, too. A Smokey Woods jingle.
Really?
This must be a rarity.
Ooh. Do you want to play it now?
It has a 1.5 second ramp.
What's a ramp? Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay, a ramp is an intro time, Sarah. Let's see here.
You know what a ramp is.
I'm just saying. All right, let me see if I can do this.
You got 1.5 seconds.
2, 3. And here's Shania Twain. Oh, no. Well, something like that.
Oh, I like that.
That's like a shotgun jingle there at the end.
That was your instant karma for making fun of me.
Totally. Laura and I watched Rocky last night, the original Rocky, because she hadn't seen it in a long, I think she'd only seen it once, she was like 10. And I had seen Rocky Balboa over Christmas, and I'm like, and it reminded me of how great the original Rocky was, because Rocky Balboa itself is really good. Anyway, so we watched it last night, and I sat and cried like a woman, and blah, 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 blah. And it's got to be kind of late. And She has the day off, and so it was kind of incumbent upon me to get up. Like, I had no external alarm clock. So I actually had to get myself out of bed this morning, and that always works out badly. So I ended up oversleeping, and I woke up, and I walked into the kitchen, and I swear to God, it was like marshmallow land outside. It was just snow everywhere, covered in snow. Snow on the road, snow on the cars, big, huge, soft, white snowflakes. It was like I was inside a really exotic Swiss
made. What time was this?
This is at like 8:10, 8:15, because again, I woke up late. Now, here's the weirdness, and I can see the look on your face, and I'm going to address that issue right now, Sarah Dillon, because this is the weird thing.
Because you and I live relatively close together.
We live like 2 minutes from each other. Mm. I wake up, I walk into the kitchen with the dog, and that's a whole saga in and of itself. You know that lampshade thing you have to put on the dog's head when they get like stitches or whatever?
Mm.
So... Well, anyway, so for reasons that I'll get into at some other point, the dog has one of those on right now, and so he's clattering, and he's not quite sure how to navigate with it on his head right now, so he tries to go through a doorway and misjudges, and it's a lot of whack. But so I walk into the kitchen with the dog this morning, like 8:15. I look outside, and the street, everything is blanketed in snow, like a good inch and a half of snow, and it's coming down hard. And I'm like, well, this is it. We're all going to die. This is the icy white death we've been promised. And I wait, and I wake up, and I'm like, oh, God, it's going to be hell, you know, because she dropped me off at work today, because we only have the one car. And I'm like, you know, it's going to be hell, the roads are going to suck, everybody's going to be hitting everybody else, we probably should get a move on, probably it's going to be chaos and doom. We leave, and you know where I live. I live, right by that Safeway. And so I live up on about 39th, and so we're driving, and literally this is what happens. We're in the car, and I got, like, my coffee cup or whatever, and I've got it down sitting on the floor between my feet while I'm putting on my seatbelt or anything. So she starts driving off. I reach down to pick up my coffee mug. I look back up, and the snow is gone. The snow is gone because she's driving, you know, whatever this is. West. She's driving west. It is, our neighborhood is blanketed and covered in snow. I look up like two blocks later from the floor of the car, and the neighborhood is completely dry.
That's weird.
It is. I swear to God, it sounds like I'm mental, but God is my witness. She will tell you, because I'm like, where did the snow go? And she's like, you're right. And we look around, and there is no snow anywhere. So, but it was literally a distance of like a block and a half that went from being completely white to completely snowless. And it's not, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, it was so, I just didn't ride because I have a bit of a cold still, because I almost rode my bike today. It was really dry and clear where I live.
I swear to God, in the distance from like 35th to 39th, it was like two different locales altogether. It was insane. So, there you go. There's your obligatory weather talk. And so forth. Here's Tim Riley.
And it was snowing in the area where I live also. Probably where Scotty J is, too.
It was snowing in Tigard. It was snowing in Vancouver. Yeah. And again, snowing on one block in Southeast, but then you get two blocks over. Not only was it not snowing, there was no snow on the ground. So it's very... And I don't think the elevation difference is all that... It's like, how much elevation can you lose in, like, two blocks?
We need a meteorologist on the show.
We need Richard Nunn. Really, now more than ever.
Or the Ronk.
No, that's true. We need something. We need something to
Richard or the Ronk.
All right, it's Jim Riley.
It's time for Democracy on the Mark.
Here's Democracy on the Mark.
So this is all getting more insane as we move along with the day. First, U.S. forces have stormed an Iranian consulate in the northern Iraqi town of Erbil.
How could that go wrong?
And see six members of this. Well, we landed helicopters on the roof this time, and they all made it. Apparently, Iraq is fueling violence. I mean, Iran is fueling violence in Iraq and is seeking nuclear arms, like they can find it in Iraq. Iran denies both charges. So, apparently, we gave this consulate over to the Kurds.
This whole thing, I read this story this morning, and then we'll get these people very patient. They've been waiting on hold here, and we'll get to them. But this whole thing, it's been, can I just speak frankly here?
They took away computers and papers.
There's a weird energy in the air today. Am I the only one who feels that way?
No, this studio feels like a meat locker, like Rocky.
It's like 40 degrees in this studio.
We should be punching sides of beef.
I woke up in a really weird mood today. It is a strange day.
I'm not saying it's a bad day. The show is zipping by. I'm just saying there's a weird energy in the air, not just here, but everywhere today. And I think this Iraq thing, as much as we don't really care about it, in a weird way, I think it kind of gets under the skin of your into the skin of your brain, but you know what I mean. It kind of, it's just a weirdness out there. It's just that we're living in a very strange kind of tumultuous time. It was like both personally, and we all had like a weird end of 2006, and then they said this insanity over in Iraq.
Yeah.
So, got all of that going on, all this, the drama with the cars, and breakups, and studio move, and just everything is just going wacky around for all of us, except for Tim, who lives in a hermetically sealed bubble in Tannisbourne.
Love it.
And I pick up the paper this morning, and I swear to God, I had to blink a couple times, and it says U.S. storms Iranian embassy. And it was like, well, what year is this kind of a thing? Because that, for me and anybody my age or older, brings back all of those horrible flashbacks of Carter and those goddamn helicopters crashing and the hostages. And when the Iranians, because isn't that how the Iranians got the hostages in the first place? They stormed our embassy.
Yes.
And so that's a weird, horrible memory, full circle thing, where the, because I, like all of you all,
and that was the beginning of Ted Koppel, America Held Hostage.
We lived through all of that, that every day, where they show that awful image of the American with the blindfold on his head, and 444 days or whatever, and the Iranians coming and kicking down the door of our embassy and seizing a bunch of Americans, which is just an awful, stressful time for the whole country. And then I pick up the paper today, and not only are we sending 21,000 troops over there to Iraq, which is going to go badly and achieve nothing good, now we're kicking down the door of the Iranian embassy, and it's just this weird Groundhog Day, full circle, opposite day inversion thing that is just messing with my head. The whole thing. It just doesn't seem... And it just... It doesn't seem like anybody there has any... And but when I say there, the administration has any notion...
Well, I don't think there's anybody left there.
I mean, how... It just is insane. Like, we're just getting our asses handed to us in Iraq, and I don't care what anybody says. That's what's happening. And then their solution is to just storm the Iranian embassy. Well, like, let's just expand it to another country right now. It just makes no sense.
But here's the weirdest part of this whole thing. Before we get into the Bush thing. The criticism is the Iraqis refuse to take charge of their own war. It's like... Did they ask us to come in and start this war for them so they could finish it?
Yes.
Can we go back in time and say, when did the request come in from the Iraqis to start a war in their country, which they intended to take over?
Which we then yell at them for not handling.
Right.
I mean, it really is like...
So nobody's asking this question. When did we get permission to start a war in Iraq from the Iraqis for them to finish?
That's just crazy talk, Tim. It really is like me going over and setting fire to the rug in Sarah's living room and then screaming at her relentlessly for being a bad homeowner.
Well, she's just a tenant.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Andy. Andy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey.
Fantastic. That was genius, sir.
On top of the smoke.
Don't play that anymore, because between that and the mommy Sarah comment, it's all kind of creepy.
What was that? That guy calling up, and my New Year's resolution is not to ask Sarah to be...
But you know what? For some reason, I think he supports the troop surge. I'm just saying.
Some kind of search. Here's the thing about that, by the way. That guy that called up and said that his New Year's resolution was for 2007.
Well,
it's
too late for New Year's resolutions. New Year's is long over with.
To not ask Sarah to be his mommy. That implies that it was something he's trying to break himself of, which implies that he's done it in the past.
I don't recollect that.
Yeah, and you'd remember that.
Yeah.
It's the guy from the party, Sarah. That's who it is.
All right, moving on.
I was watching C-SPAN last night, watching the chimp on the TV, and watching the reaction that people would call in, American citizens would call in. They would have one pro-Bush phone number and one anti-Plan phone number.
Right.
And it occurred to me as I was listening that anybody that was for this surge, this, you know, whatever you want to call it, either had... a southern accent, which, not to generalize, but they really did. Or they had trouble stringing together more than two words to form a sentence.
Or both, yeah.
Yeah, and the people that were against it, I mean, they sounded intelligent. They sounded, well, like, you know, like listeners to your show, I would imagine. But it blew me away because, I mean, it wasn't just maybe, you know, 50%, 60% that way. It was 100% that way. I mean, anybody that was... that was for it. It just sounded like an idiot.
Well, I mean, look, I got to say, and this is to be fair, because as we say in this program, you know, none of us in this program, to my knowledge, none of us here are registered Democrats. We don't even vote. So, I mean, it doesn't...
I am.
It doesn't, yeah. It's not like Democrats are any better. As I always say, the Democrats are on the inside what Republicans are on the outside. But I will say this. In deference to the GOP, who have gotten a lot of lumps from us over the past whatever, because they're in charge, or they were, I will say this, because we get accused so often of just relentlessly railing on the GOP, that even the bulk of the GOP seem to have come over to the side of rationality and logic on this and just realize that we are getting effed, and it's time to leave. And so George Bush has this whole thing where, which he tries to sell as some sort of a positive character trait, which, as Stephen Colbert said, that he believes the same thing on Wednesday that he believed on Monday, no matter what happened on Tuesday, you know? And he tries to sell that as some sort of, but there are these things called changes and facts and evidence, and those things often fluctuate over time. And really, you would have to be just relentlessly, screamingly, stunningly goddamn stupid to just continue to cling to the same beliefs regardless of what new evidence comes in. And so it is not surprising to me that the people who are for an inflexible, unchanging policy really couldn't, I mean, you're talking about brain power that couldn't toast bread on one side. So that does not surprise me at all, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I got.
Thank you.
Smokey Wild.
That's Andy.
Andy.
Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, so I promise not to play too many songs, because everybody's already seen this a million times over and over again. But here is the president accepting responsibility for a mistake.
The situation in Iraq is unacceptable to the American people, and it is unacceptable to me.
Uh-huh.
Our troops in Iraq have fought bravely. They have done everything we have asked them to do. Where mistakes have been made, the responsibility rests with me.
Okay. He really doesn't believe that.
No, he doesn't believe it at all. And first of all, he should know, as a student... Well, student. I can't believe I can't believe I almost said that.
He was sent. He did not go.
I can't
he
believe...
He was sent to school. He did not go to school.
I almost called him a student of history. Oh, God. Let's pretend that gaffe didn't happen. I almost called George W. Bush a student of politics. Karl Rove, as a student of politics and history, they ought to know that they can't be putting words in his mouth like mistakes have been made, because that echoes uncomfortably bad. Wasn't that what Reagan said about Iran-Contra?
Yeah.
That's Reagan's famous statement about this whole the whole abortive mess of Iran-Contra. Ronald Reagan said, well, mistakes were made. And I mean, it became such an instant political catchphrase. So,
But they only played that back once. And they balanced it out by playing Mr. Gorbachev tear down that wall 10 times after that to make people forget.
And when he died, they played it 1,000. They just had that on an endless loop.
And if you go into the museum, that's all you hear played over and over again on the PA system, and you feel like you're being watched by someone to see your reaction to the words.
Just that and him standing, it's morning in America. So they should know not to have him use the phrase mistakes were made. And secondly, you're right. In no way does he believe that.
No.
I would wager that, like Klaus Meine of the rock band Scorpions, George W. Bush can't even speak English. He just reads things phonetically off cue cards in front of him.
And he's doing better at it.
He is. He's coming along. By the time that he finally is out of there, he's going to be able to... I mean, he'll almost be able to pass for somebody that has a mastery of the English language. I would also say this. It is strange, if not altogether surprising, that he says he accepts responsibility, yet oddly none of the ramifications or punishments come down on him because of that. He doesn't actually... He's not actually held accountable for anything. It's easy to say that you accept responsibility or that the blame is on your shoulders when none of the actual detrimental effects are coming down on you.
Here's Tim.
So far, the polls show that 70% of Americans are against this. But no polls of any kind appear on the Fox News site.
They could. Well,
on the Fox News channel.
No, they're busy talking about Hillary.
So let's give a fair and balanced account of this. Joe Lieberman says the outcome in Iraq is tied to winning. Here we go again with those two words, the global war on terror. And it'd be a great mistake to pick up and leave now, says Joe.
I think that would be a terrible mistake in the midst of war to do that. And I particularly, of course, think it's wrong. I think the president has come up with a plan. It's a plan that says we're not going
to
give up on Iraq, that what happens in Iraq dramatically
in Iraq.
Affects the larger war against terrorism.
There is no plan.
Somebody get me a seltzer.
Can I get some corned beef?
Kerry says last night's speech on Iraq is dividing the country.
But last night, the president chose fundamentally to ignore the foundation built by the Iraq Study Group, the foundation built bipartisan basis here, and knowingly and willfully has divided the country yet again, and the Congress over this issue.
No matter what he says, it always takes him twice as long to say. And then you can't remember what the original question was.
Saruman, a wizard should know better.
So I once dragged out Condoleezza Rice, who apparently spends her life traveling around in other countries, but nobody ever sees her. She says that the U.S. is not calling the shots in Iraq.
The Iraqis have devised a strategy that they believe will work
for their
most urgent problem, that is to return security to Baghdad. We are going to support that strategy.
These are the Iraqis in cubicles 1 through 10. Of their so-called government.
Seriously,
which is right next to the cafeteria.
I am so unclear about
this.
Where
all the nicer furniture is.
The Iraqis have devised a strategy.
What Iraqis? Where?
The ones in the cubicles. You get all the good desks.
There is no strategy. I'm not even entirely sure that there are any Iraqis left that aren't shooting at us.
The Iraqis have devised a strategy.
And I'm so unclear.
That they believe will work for their...
I'm really unclear about this. I'm unclear about whether now it's our responsibility, or wasn't like 5 seconds ago, wasn't it our responsibility to go in and make sure to clean house and make sure that things were working?
Yes, because they wanted a war.
They asked for it.
They asked for us to come in.
All I want for Christmas is to be bombed by the great Satan. All right. Oh, good God almighty.
Meanwhile, the British Foreign Secretary has welcomed the announcement from President Bush to send more troops, but don't count on Britain to follow suit.
It is not our intention at the present time to send more troops. Indeed, we are hoping to continue to make progress in dealing with the position in Basra and giving more responsibility to Iraqi elements, to Iraqi forces and so on.
Who is that? It's a new lady. Her name is Margaret Beckett.
I trust her.
So she's going to be speaking from now on, apparently.
You know, I don't even... Is she... What does she do?
She's the... I don't know. she sounds a bit like Margaret Thatcher, doesn't she?
She just sounded posh.
She is... Margaret Thatcher. I'm trying to find out who she is. Oh, she's the British Foreign Secretary. So she's somebody's secretary.
I already trust her. I don't care what she does. I don't know what she's capable of doing. Doesn't matter. I already trust her.
Time for tea.
Implicitly.
High tea.
Please massage my calves. Jake, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, not to take all eyes off George Bush or anything, but picture this. Going through the Jack Daniel's distillery... Getting to the end, and instead of getting to sample their whiskey or anything like that, it's a dry county, so they don't even have alcohol. I'm referring back to the talking about liquor stores and stuff.
Yes.
Down south, man, that's where they don't have no alcohol sales on Sundays.
Somebody told me, now, is that true that Jack Daniel's, that's in Lynchburg, right, that's a dry county?
It's a dry county.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that insane?
If you tour the factory, you can't have any Jack Daniels at the end of it?
You can't have any Jack Daniels at the end of it. No Lynchburg lemonade or nothing like that. They give you lemonade, but it's without the alcohol in it.
Oh. They ought to have a guy just... Maybe they could just hit you with a tire iron. You know, just give you some lemonade and then punch you in the face a few times.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, this world's going to hell in a handbasket.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right, man.
On top of all smoking.
Fantastic. Speaking of touring, guess what we've been invited to do?
Go on a tour?
Yes.
Of what? The firehouse.
No, he was close with his call just now.
Some distillery.
Close.
Tillamook Dairy.
No. Sarah?
Is it some alcohol of some kind?
We've been invited to tour the Viso facility to see how they make Viso and to see it being made in bottles.
It's like Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
Exactly. Wow. So
I would totally want to go.
I'm all over that. Yeah, Alex, when they dropped off some more Wilford, he's like, would you like to come see this magical elixir being made? And I was like, would I ever? So at some point we should totally do a listener field trip there.
That'd be fun.
Listener
That's
field
a great
trip
idea.
To the Viso Factory.
Only the most deserving get to go.
Fantastic. Let's see. We should do like a golden ticket thing. That's fantastic. All right. Note to self. Going to write that down. I'm making a mental note. You sons of bitches. That's my idea. Not really mine so much as it is Roald Dahl, but you know what I'm talking about. Rick, the Barber Liquor Store is right across from Castle Megastore. Pretty much covers all your needs at once. That's Todd the Corpse, by the way, who said that. A good God-fearing man who I swear to Christ teaches Sunday school. Here's Tim Riley.
So, Defense Secretary Robert Gates says adding more troops will take place over a period of time.
The increase in military forces will be phased in. It will not unfold overnight. There will be no D-Day. It won't look like the Gulf War.
Secretary Gates says the U.S. must be victorious.
Whatever one's views on how we got to this point in Iraq, there is widespread agreement that failure there would be a calamity that would haunt our nation in the future and in the region.
As opposed to... Okay.
Yes, all right. Barack Obama says we're not going to babysit a civil war. Meanwhile, what's Madonna up to? Well, she's weighing in on the public feud between Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump. The two continue to air the differences out on television in an interview on the NBC Today show. Madonna offered her support of Rosie.
I have a feeling that if every stand-up comic was penalized for saying politically incorrect things or provocative things, I think they'd all be hung in the public square. So if people are giving Rosie a hard time, I wish they'd stop.
You're not from England. Stop it.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump says Rosie is incorrect to state the ratings for his show The Apprentice suffered. No, he is. She was correct.
No, he's no. That show.
He's lying again.
Relatively speaking, that show tanked.
Right.
The Apprentice.
So
yeah.
Here is number four.
Rosie lies. The Apprentice ratings were fantastic.
No,
it was
they were
the
not.
Most successful show.
No, sir.
In the last 14 months in that time slot.
No.
And Rosie made the statement. Oh, the show bombed. It bumped. You're fired.
He is convinced once the dust settled, Rosie will be a loser.
Rosie is a very sad figure. And watch what happens. After I'm finished with this, and The View goes back to being The View, those ratings will tank.
All right. Yeah, whatever you say. We should take a break here, but I've got this email, Rick. Here's the thing. You know what this Rosie Donald, Barbara Walters, Madonna, and when did Madonna, when was she asked for her opinion? I just thought about that. Like, when did somebody ask her?
Yes.
Did she just, really?
Apparently, she's on the Today Show.
Someone just interjected it.
Why not?
You know what this is? This is like an endless flame war on some message board somewhere. Just two idiot trolls going back and forth at hammer and tongs on some, like, Star Wars message board. It's a discussion that goes on and on and on. And everybody else has to avoid going to that message board because no one wants to be bothered with their endless nattering that just fills up 500 pages. Rick, this email says, love the jingles. Real radio lovers love jingles. Play them all day.
On top of all smoking, K-U-P-L.
Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. I haven't even started. There are hundreds of these. And when we come back, we will make that. We have a studio announcement. An announcement. Because people, I didn't really think people cared.
Oh, yes.
About our studio or where we brought. Not that the audience doesn't love us. But I figured, you know. Long as the show's coming out of the speaker, what do they care?
It's water cooler talk.
But we are going to pull back the curtain and discuss the move. We're going to be moving studios. And we have an announcement about that, and that kind of ties into why we're playing these cards today. So it's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley returns in mere minutes from the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Scotty J's Top 5 and the Suburban Perspective. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. I gotta move this coffee. I'm gonna spill it. I don't spill anything in this studio. I'm gonna leave this clean and tidy for the next people who use it. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We got some studio news here just a second for people who care about such things. There's like a dozen carts here that are labeled with variations on top of Old Smoky. I wish there were carts here from the other radio stations, but again, Jeff, the engineer, you know, no fault of his own. He just assumed that we were moving over to the digital age completely here. They didn't think that we would ever play these carts again because they thought that everything was going to be off Wave and MP3 and so forth. But because when I told him yesterday, I said, hey, I found all these carts. And he's like, no, I threw all those away. And I said, well, you missed one closet. There was one closet full of carts that he didn't know was there. So, but there's hundreds in there. Let's see what this one is.
Who is that?
I don't know.
And for what occasion was it sung?
I wonder if that was also Lillian and Edna of Estacada with this Friday song. And Sarah asked what was wrong with this.
Dude, that's going to fall, Rick. Those
the cart stack? No, no, no. I'm a pro. I know how to stack carts.
Dropped them all before the show this morning.
They're going to fall at least two or three times at the end of the day.
And Tim and I were talking about that, too. The other thing is you would stack carts, and then they would tip over, and they would hit the control board and start firing things off randomly. Or they would hit the turntable, and your copy of Zeppelin 4 would skip all the way across.
You know what usually happens? There was an old radio well, touch of etiquette that you would pull the first hour of the next jock's carts.
Yes.
Before you left. So in order to stack them in order, you stack them upside down and flip them over at the end and put them on top of the cart machine.
Yep.
So in your haste to get out while your last song is playing, they always fell over and you had to start all over again.
Exactly, because all of the carts, everything, all the commercials, jingles, liners, etc., had to be played in order. And so imagine, again, having to stack like 45 8-track tapes in order. And Tim's exactly right. You would stack them upside down and then you would pick up the pile, a hand on each end like an accordion, and turn it over. But of course, you could never keep enough surface pressure and it would split apart at the middle and it would all just go to hell.
So we have to do that at least a couple times. So. Just for old time's sake.
So, yeah, spilling the carts is really, it's a symbolic sort of
thing. We have to pull them for the next... Oh, there's no one after.
There, they pull the pull. Well, you know, like us, I should point out that we're not the first people to do this, because when Tom moved out of his studio about 5 months ago into that new studio, they were doing the, because Tom Likas was in his studio for like 12 years, which really was just a tiny little closet. It was just a production closet. It was minuscule, and he was in there for like 12 years. And when he was moving out, I think 4 or 5 months ago, they did this great recurring. I mean, this went on for days where they were like pulling out the sofa. They were finding carts underneath chairs, behind the control board, things that were unlabeled. And he did point out one thing that all radio people know is true, which is that nothing sounds like a cart. And this, I often get accused of doing things that are really just for other radio people that you have to be in radio to get. And I don't think that's true most of the time. This really is true, though. Tom made this observation. And so this is a direct steal from Tom. He made this point, but I'm going to make it again. Which is that nothing in the world sounds like a cart at all, period. There's nothing that sounds like this.
Mystery sound.
So everybody listen, radio people will know this sound of the cart hitting the floor. Listen to this. And that's a sound that doesn't mean anything to anybody except people who worked in radio in that era. And you play that, you'll hear that in your sleep. You know exactly what that sound is. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
So meanwhile, what should the president do the day after his speech? Why not go talk to some people in uniform? Let's go to...
Are we going back to A?
Yes, and we're going to Fort Benning, Georgia. The president cites 911 again.
I was hoping that would happen so that life would go on.
What?
But the fortunate thing for this country is that those who wear the uniform have never forgotten the threat. You understand mistakes.
What was hoping?
I was hoping that would happen so that life would go...
Did someone do an overshare? Did someone's outside voice somehow become the inside voice and vice versa?
He's thanking them for incredible sacrifices and citing the 911 terrorist attacks, saying the terrorists continue to pose a grave threat to the U.S., even though it's a long time since 9/11. And he mentioned it twice in one sentence.
If we were to fail in Iraq, Iran would be emboldened in its pursuit of nuclear weapons. Our enemies would have safe havens from which to launch attacks.
Here we go. Here we go. Sarah asked me during the break.
But they're already there, aren't they?
During the break. Sarah's like, so are we invading Iran? Are we invading? What are we doing? I said, well, it's the Iranian embassy inside of Iraq. And then I noted, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm simply a guy who reads the newspaper. Mm-hmm. We're clearly going to invade Iran if something isn't done. If someone doesn't stop this whole insanity somehow, that's what's going to happen. I mean, we all can see it happening, right?
My feeling is, at some point, someone is going to be taken out of the White House in a straitjacket. Because that is the only way that a stop will be put to this.
No, and we wish the president the best of health and a long life, as we do all governmental officials.
Because I have a feeling that somebody has been drinking for quite some time. Someone has been making calls to find out when the liquor store is closed, and will somebody please make a trip over there and keep it quiet?
Man, you laugh about that. It sounds funny, but you know what?
15 or 20 years from now, when this period of history is explored,
the stuff that we learn about elected officials after the fact, and I'm not talking about Kennedy putting Marilyn on the White House the desk.
More power to him.
I mean, yeah, seriously.
She was asking for it.
Happy birthday, mister. That's it. Note to self.
Cake and ice cream from Maryland.
Take the commander-in-chief. I'd like to talk about your Oval Office. I didn't just say that. The things that we find out after the fact, like the fact that Ronald Reagan clearly had Alzheimer's for the last 4 years of his presidency. There's a book by Bob Woodward, who is a man that can be trusted most of the time, called Shadow, about sort of the legacy of Watergate. And he has, and it's horrifying. If you go back, it's horrifying and sad and scary. He has the transcript of when they, of when Ronald Reagan gave a deposition about Iran-Contra. And he's a man who clearly had lost. I mean, he didn't have Marble One rolling around upstairs. He was clearly gone by that point. You read the transcript, and Ronald Reagan had no. He was a man in a fog. Right. He had nothing.
But he was a very old man when elected.
Yeah, you know, and then you hear about, like, wasn't it Lincoln that had the... Wasn't Mary Lincoln chained up in the basement of the White House because she was crazy?
Yeah.
So Abraham Lincoln had his wife chained up in the... Literally chained up in the basement because she was, like, she was bat-ass nuts. You know,
Well, speaking of that, one of the president's supporters said last night that the president is just like Abraham Lincoln because he is changing his strategy just as Lincoln did during the Civil War. So he was comparing him to Lincoln, which I could not believe.
I thought there wasn't a Civil War going on. But you're right about this. We are going to find out. This is why I've got to live a long life. This is why I've got to live clean. I've got to avoid what the Mormons would call strong drink. I have to cut down on cholesterol. Because I have to live long enough to see the proof that George W. Bush was clinically insane while he was in office, or perhaps in the estimation of Tim Riley, just blind, stinking, drunk most of the time. I mean,
is the rest of the nation finally catching on that these people are nuts and have been for quite some time?
I'm going to say this as well. Now, we know, how do we put this? George W. Bush is, and this is a statement of fact, by the way, George W. Bush, this is a fact, is an alcoholic. Now, he claims that he no longer drinks. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it's not. But we do know that he is an alcoholic by his own admission. Now, it has been widely speculated and rumored and postulated, and I don't think he's ever actually denied the fact that he was at one point a habitual user of cocaine. I'm not going to say that George W. Bush is on cocaine right now, but I will say that he does seem a little bit paranoid. He does seem a little bit keyed up a lot of the time, seems unable to focus, unable to string sentences together coherently. He does seem to have an almost irrational belief, or a completely irrational belief, that people are out to get him, that people are going to be coming into his private space and taking things from him, that he's going to be the subject of some sort of invasion of his own personal property or home territory. He does seem to think that enemies are everywhere, despite evidence to the contrary. He does seem to exhibit an almost maniacal love of power and micromanagement. I'm not going to say that any of those things are the result of him clearly being on cocaine again, but, you know, I am just saying. I'm not saying he's on cocaine. I am just saying. Here's Tim Riley.
What's Governor Schwarzenegger up to, our neighbor to the south? Well, he's talking publicly for the first time about his skiing accident that left him with a broken leg.
It was one of those very unfortunate accidents. The reason why I say unfortunate was because it happened at a very slow speed.
Okay.
The injury is very frustrating for him.
Ongoing pain, 24 hours a day.
And somebody else has some black mold.
This is really annoying to me, and believe me, it is nothing that I hate more.
And this is a weird place to be in American history, too, where Arnold Schwarzenegger seems like a really level-headed, stable, rational political leader who I feel comfortable having in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
I never really thought it would get to this point. Hugh Hefner made this statement at the beginning of the Reagan era where he said that the country is entering a long, dark tunnel and we're going to be in there for some time. We're not entering a tunnel. We are in the tunnel. That's where we are right now. We are halfway through the tunnel. We are equidistant from both ends, and it's pitch black outside, kids.
Well, police and wildlife officials are fighting to keep a bear away from the people of Medford. State wildlife workers spotted a black bear shortly after it climbed into a tree in the neighbor's yard in the wonderful city of Medford. Officials said the bear probably came from the Lone Pine Creek area and is likely to wander back into town if it's not left alone. The bear is becoming aggressive with police and wildlife officials and may have to take it out.
I'm going to come and eat your internal organs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Was I doing a Davy and Goliath thing?
Oh, I thought that was Yogi Bear.
I was trying to do Yogi Bear, but it kind of came...
That was well done.
Wink. Okay. As I was saying it, I was thinking...
Don't try to improve.
Is this the right fictitious cartoon voice in the background?
It is. I understood it immediately.
I go for the legs first, so you can't run. Let's see. This is Matt on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
I have a question for you. Nobody else could answer this but you.
Yeah.
I'm doing a little voiceover work here, and in my script, there's the word presaging, P-R-E-S-A-G-I-N-G.
Right.
I don't know how to pronounce it or what it means.
Well, you're pronouncing it correctly. It means, it can mean one of two things. It can either mean an event that foreshadows a coming event. In other words, the invasion of the Iranian embassy in Iraq presages our inevitable invasion of Iran itself.
Beautiful.
Or it can just be sort of a, like an intuition or a foreboding. But it typically means it's like a foreshadowing. One event that sort of, one event that is sort of, indicative of an event to come.
Excellent.
So you can use that. Instead of presages, it foreshadows. They mean the same thing.
Wonderful. I really appreciate this. Hey, can I call you back with questions like these once and again here?
Anytime, sir.
I love you. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
The school board in Federal Way, Washington, has placed a moratorium on the showing of Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth, in response to one parent's complaint. Apparently, Frosty Huntington opposes the movie because of its slant toward science as a truth contradicting the Bible. As a result, Federal Way teachers who want to show the movie must first provide a strong argument and get the superintendent's permission.
I swear to God. Never mind. What's the parent's name? Frosty?
Frosty.
Is that a gag? Is that supposed to be...
Maybe it refers to her hair color.
Is there really a woman who's...
Frosty Hardison.
A woman complaining about a global warming film and her name is Frosty? Can that possibly be true?
Mm-hmm.
You know that woman was
she
named...
She says it contradicts the Bible.
Yeah, you know that she was named after the Wendy's dessert. You know that that's true. What do you mean it contradicts the Bible? How could a global warming... The Bible doesn't even mention global warming. How can it...
Or Al Gore.
How can it contradict the Bible? That's not even about the craziness. That just doesn't make any sense to me. That's just... That just is illogical.
Well, that's Frosty Hardison's world.
All right. Let's see. Let's give another take a play in the Friday song by Lillian and Edna of Estacada. We found this whole this whole closet full of carts.
They might start demanding royalties if we keep playing them.
Well, here's the thing is, I used to build carts. Not for a living, but is it like I was paid like $2 an hour or $3, whatever the minimum wage was at that point, and I would build these carts, and again, a cart is like an 8-track, but it only contains one element. I used to build these for spare money at the radio station, and I would just sit there in my
hands.
Because
the pads wear out after a while.
Yeah, and the tape would wear out, or we would just run it, like when we did this thing, this duopoly where we had the... We were one radio station in the building, and then eventually, and then they did that thing where they put like 5 radio stations in with us after the deregulation, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so we needed more carts. And, man, it was the closest thing I've ever felt to being like a Chinese construction line worker. You know, just some guy in Taipei, I work for Glorious Leader. You know, just putting hair on a plastic doll's head or something for like 10 cents a day. So I would just make these carts all day. And I can tell that this cart is made a little too tight. There's not enough slack in this, which is why it doesn't want to play. And so we played this earlier, and it kind of went, kind of like the tape was being swallowed. Let's try this again.
Pass it on the counter.
The Friday song.
There you go. It loosens it up a bit.
This is the Friday song by Lillian and Edna of Estacada.
Friday.
Waitress's bonus track.
So this is the ramp.
Oh,
the promo was coming up.
That's true. This is like a week. I will look forward to the weekend.
We'll have the birthday club coming up after this.
What if it's got to be a cold? So this thing. Fantastic, excellent. Thank you. That's Lillian and Edna. They're probably dead now. Here's Tim Riley.
I forgot where we're going. It was just so interesting.
It doesn't matter. It's all gold. Anywhere you look, Tim Riley, no matter what you pick up, it's going to be genius.
Well, the Rocky Mountain Rescue Group took medication and 700 pounds of raw meat to 13 wolves after a series of snowstorms isolated the wolves.
Do we really need to be helping wolves?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Well, they're affected by these snowstorms, too. Also, the wolves had dry dog food and water, but they prefer raw meat. So caretakers wanted the additional supplies so the animals could maintain their strength during the snowstorm.
I don't really know that that's... Look, I love animals and all.
That's a lie.
I don't. But, I mean, I'm just saying... I don't wish for any of God's creatures to suffer unnecessarily, but there are certain creatures that it seems like we don't really need to help because they're evil. Tasmanian devils, for example. You never hear about anybody going to help Tasmanian devils. Why? Kill you. Kill you just as soon as look at
you. I've never heard anything evil about Tasmanian devils in real life, just in cartoons.
You know, the weird thing about Tasmanian devils in real life is they're really, really tiny, and they make the most unholy noise, sound or whatever that the Taz makes. A Taz, who is a character in Warner Brothers Animation that is not very difficult to like because hordes of mindless, idiot, shaven-headed jocks have had him tattooed on their biceps. So it's now very... You know, the Taz on every idiot redneck pickup truck is sort of like the peeing Calvin. It just makes it... You have to learn to separate that mentally in your head from the actual character. The poor character doesn't know that he's been accumulated by a whole bunch of moronic, moronic gum chewers everywhere. But the thing about the Tasmanian devil is that weird sound that he makes is a lot like the sound that the real-life Tasmanian devil makes, which is unnerving. The Tasmanian devil in real life makes this sound that it's like if you were in the dark and you heard that with you, you would just, I mean, it would kill you, just the sound of it. It's completely terrifying. Here's Tim Riley.
Are they only to be found in Tasmania?
I don't know the answer to that. Is Tasmania a real place?
Yes, sir, it is, yeah.
Are you sure about that?
It's in Australia, is it not? I believe it is.
I don't even really know that it actually exists.
Yes, it's in Australia.
Tasmania.
Uh-huh.
Is it a state?
A county or a territory?
It's a county. I live in Tasmania County. Tasmania County weather today.
I'm running for the Tasmania County Board of Selectmen.
Oh, it's fantastic. Really, there's nothing that could make that joke any better except...
On top of all smoking.
Here's Tim Riley.
Coming up next, Tasmania Tonight on many of these stations. Well, a man shot a friend... When the two got into an argument over James Brown's height, Dan Gully Jr. was charged with assault and shooting of David James Brooks Jr. The two men were at a friend's home Monday, but according to witnesses, the argument over the height of the late godfather so escalated. Gully, who's 70, shot Brooks, who was 62, twice in the abdomen. Brooks went to his car, got a gun, and shot Gully, but missed. Then went to the police station. Gully also went to the station and told police he shot Brooks. He owned up to it. He remains in the Escambia County Jail. The Mobile Alabama Press Register newspaper says officers did not believe alcohol was a factor in the argument. They're just from Alabama.
They're just plain crazy.
Let's see here. Brown, who is also known to wear lips, I don't know what that's supposed to mean, died of heart failure at the age of 73. Brown, who is known to wear lips.
Like those things you put in your shoes to look taller.
Oh, with the goldfish in the bottom?
Smokey!
Some of these don't even make any sense. And that one's just creepy.
It's bizarre that these huge plastic things, like this...
Contain nothing?
Contain 2 seconds of audio. That.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah, you should take like a picture waste. Of the
technology didn't change for 50 years.
At some
How
point...
you never...
At some point, because my phone is... don't even get me started on my phone. My phone can't be touched. The battery's got to be intact from my shrink calls. These huge pieces of plastic are used to play literally... How long is that? Let's see. One.
Okay.
Two. That's less than 2 seconds long. And unnerving, by the way. Let's see. This is Tom. I want to talk to Tom. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey,
Tom.
Hey.
I just want to let you know, Tasmania is an island off the coast of southern coast of Australia.
It's an island.
Island.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Tasmania is an island. And
it's part of Australia.
Is it owned by Australia?
No, I believe that they're, they might be
country?
A commonwealth or whatever they call that.
I don't know what a commonwealth is. Here's some other things. I don't know what a commonwealth is. I don't know what's that other thing? There's a commonwealth and there's a thing that's like a commonwealth. A Buick.
A territory?
A territory. There's that. This is a boring conversation. Not you so much as me. It's not you, Tom. It's me. It's Tasmania Island off Australia.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. All right, let's find out what Justin
says. Australia.
Well, Justin says, Justin, what is it gets to do with Tasmania?
It's right next to New Zealand.
So, what is it closer to, Australia or New Zealand?
New Zealand. It's about 30 kilometers from New Zealand, maybe 100 from Australia.
So, who does it belong to?
And I'm an American. I don't know how many miles is that?
I don't know. About a good luck.
I think he's making this up.
Got a calculator? Find a conversion rate?
Yeah, I'll get right on that. I can't wait to do that.
Okay.
Right. So I still believe it's part of Australia.
Thank you, Justin.
Yes, I've been there. It's much fun.
Really? Did you? Now, are there really Tasmanian devils there?
I didn't see any, but I didn't leave the bars.
Excellent.
I'm sure they have them somewhere for the tourists.
God bless you, Justin. You call us anytime, my friend.
Always do.
All right, there you go. That's Justin. There you go. So you don't get the feeling sometimes that in conversations, I'm asking questions and the callers are answering other things? Like, it's these sort of conversations passing in the night where the answers and the questions sometimes don't really sync up. It's like a YouTube video where the audio and the lips don't quite work together.
What was
okay,
that?
Okay, what the hell was that? Okay.
We all heard it.
Here's what you have to know. Please tell me you guys just heard that noise.
I hope I'm not being programmed by some outside source.
Okay, the phones...
That was...
All the phone lines were hung up. All the phone lines were hung up. Nobody was on hold just then. I cleared out the phones. There was nothing, and yet I just heard a phone dialing sound. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Did we say something that upset somebody at a higher source?
What higher source?
Well, in government, perhaps.
Oh. Oh, I thought you meant like Les Moonves or something.
No, he's not listening.
No, he doesn't even know who we are. Couldn't pick us out of a lineup. What's this? What? Let's see what this bin is. This is,
Don't take that off. Tap it on the counter.
Now, see, that's what happens if you don't...
There you go.
Flawless technology.
Weird.
You know, these carts are probably made of the same material they made our phones out of.
You're listening to... The pads must be worn out. Change the pads.
Imagine...
You want a screwdriver? You can take that apart. Yeah, I'll get you some pads.
I'll get right on that. Those. I'll get right on that. I'll go in the back and rebuild the
We all know how to fix those.
No, there are no pads. The pads are gone.
That's why it's not playing.
There are no pads.
Can we ask for some pads if the engineers are passing by?
Jeremy, get over here and fix this cart. I demand pads for my cart.
Jesus.
I am Lur of the planet Omicron Percy. I demand
things.
Pads. Seriously.
The machine itself is run by a chain that should be on the bottom of a bus in the snowstorm.
Yeah, and so now I'll never be able to play whatever this is.
Take the pads out of another car and put it in there.
This is like some weird, this is like some of that, that screw music the kids listen to in the South, the hip-hop. You know, the DJ screw.
It's enough to make the teenagers vomit. Oh, that's the elephant
walk. Hey, for the heads in the audience, this is the chopped and screwed version of the baby elephant walk. This is for the syrup fans out there. That joke is just for Ryan Barrett, by the way.
So you got to read the school lunch menu. Over.
All right, hold on. Can I pull the pads out of another cart?
Yeah, you can. The screw is right in the middle on the top. You know where it is.
I don't really care. I'm just going to keep this one going. Let's talk to Sharon. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
So Tasmania is like a state. It belongs to Australia. It's not just like an island off of Australia. It's like Hawaii to the United States.
All right.
So if you were to invade Tasmania...
You would be invading Australia.
All right, excellent.
And it's supposed to be like Oregon. Like you don't have to visit, you know, if you go to Australia, you should go to, you know, the tropical side because Tasmania is supposed to be kind of like Australia, I mean, Oregon.
Is that in their tourism brochures?
easily conquerable.
I'm a representative of Tasmania.
Can be conquered by one man and a musket.
Yes.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yep.
So then I take, if somebody brought two Tasmanian devils and put them together in Oregon, they could multiply and build a home.
Yes.
Since it is basically the same thing.
I feel like I'd be doing like a Marilyn Manson lyric or something over this. I'd add to the hellfire.
I think we should break.
Here's what marijuana does to your brain.
Like father, like son. Are you not enjoying the baby elephant walk?
Oh, you bet.
Oh, I am.
All right. It's 5:03.
That's what Packy listens to. Before her afternoon nap.
This is the sound of your head being filled with flies. This is what Art Linkletter's daughter was hearing right as she was falling off the building. That's a little joke for the 70s kids out there. Let's take a break, shall we? I really do love this show. I love it with everything in me. God help me. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. We come back, we got more of your phone calls. We got Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective, the top five, Ed McCarthy. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson radio program, AM 970, Solid State Radio.